Friends, say what you want about our brother, the Apostle Paul, and God knows there has been an awful lot said about him, but there is one thing I think we can all agree on, and that is, boy, the man could write. Many of the most beautiful, inspiring, uplifting passages in all of Scripture flow from his pen. Passages that make the wounded whole and soothe the sin-sick soul. Like these words. Paul writes, "For I am convinced that there is nothing in all of creation that will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus." Friends, there is no height. There is no depth. There is no angel. There is no demon. There are no politicians. There is nothing you have done or will ever do that can ever separate you from God's love. God's love will not let you go. It is amazing. Or words, perhaps, of liberation like these. In Jesus, there is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer male or female. There is no longer slave or free. Paul says that we are all equal. We are all one, you and I. Somehow Paul even makes his instructive words for living inspiring. He writes, "Now do not think more highly of yourself than you ought to." Amen. "But instead, let love be genuine. Bless those who persecute you. Outdo one another in showing honor." Our brother Paul, he sure knew how to write. And then our passage for today. One of my favorites. A poetic passage about our life as a body. A beautiful vision of our life together. You and I interconnected. In fact, incomplete without each other. Those who are considered weak, they are actually indispensable. Those who have been accorded honor by this world are called to clothe those the world shuns or has hurt because they are God's beloved. No dissension, just mutual love and care. When one suffers, we all suffer. When one rejoices, we rejoice together. Tell me after those words, you don't have at least a little bit of goosebumps on your skin. Talk about a great political platform, a dream, a vision for what might yet be. But here's the thing. In today's passage, Paul is not talking about the future or some dream to live into. Paul is already talking about the truth of what already is. The very next line of scripture from the passage Caroline read this morning says this. Now, right now, as in already, as in done and complete, now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. You see, friends, Paul was a tent maker by trade. He was a teacher by calling, and most importantly, an apostle by experience. And so for all their beauty, Paul's writings are often blunt statements of fact and truth, having seen Jesus firsthand in a blinding light, having experienced the mystery of God as living truth, Paul was never content to write anything but the truth of what is. And this passage today is no different. Paul isn't just painting an image. Paul is writing about what already is so that we don't end up missing it. We are one body. Like it or not, ready or not. Here in worship, we see glimpses of that truth. We sit together here in this room, sharing the breath of life. You breathe out and I take that breath in. We grasp on to one another, sharing the peace of Christ. Together our minds churn as we tackle ancient truths. And did you know that when we sing together, our hearts become one? You see, no matter what our resting heart rate is, When Harry starts to play, and when we start to sing, scientists tell us that our hearts, they gradually start beating together to the rhythm of the music, like a metronome. They all converge. We are one body. In worship, as one body, we are sustained. But being a body does not start or end when we come through those doors. Paul beautifully reminds us that every day we draw breath. No matter where we are in God's creation, no matter what we are doing, we are already one body. Today, we honor the ministries of care and support here at Old South. We honor and celebrate how we ease suffering with homemade casseroles and written notes. How we join in the celebration through little baby onesies. How we clothe one another in honor, wrapped in prayer shawls. How we end isolation through rides or visits. How when one suffers, we all suffer, and when one rejoices, we all rejoice together. Now, I think the first and most obvious truth from today's passage is that we are called to lift up one another. And it is true. I gotta tell you, we need all the good people we can get to go the extra mile to bear the load for anyone sick or lonely. We need all the people we can get to lead the singing and celebration at the birth of a new child, the finding of a new job, or when healing or wholeness comes along. We are one body, we already are. But on closer examination of just what Paul wrote, there is something here that is just as important to being that one body. Friends, we are called to also name and to share the burdens and the wounds that we carry. We need to share those burdens with one another because when they are left alone or harbored as a secret, they become barriers. We need to let each other in on the ways that we are in need because that is the way that God has already ordered the body. Denying our needs defies God's redemptive plan. It is to live in contradiction with what already is. We are already one body. But there is something that sometimes gets in the way up here. It could seem like the right thing to keep silent about our joys or about our needs. It could come out of pride or shame or feelings of unworthiness. It might be that we are busy or we think that whenever we are celebrating or grieving, there are more important things going on in this world. But Paul will have none of that. Remember, members of the body that seem weaker are actually indispensable, and that means all of us, even in our worst moments, are valued. We are needed. We are indispensable. Not just when we can lend a helping hand, but when we need help too, for that is how bodies work. Think about it. If I were to walk out of this pulpit and up to that table, if I were to take even the smallest of my fingers and stick it into that flame, my body would instantly recognize the pain. It would pull that hand out and devote all of its energies to stopping the pain and starting the healing. It is the nature of what bodies do. And yet, how often, brothers and sisters, when it is not just our finger in the flame, but when it feels like we are being completely consumed by fire, that we still carry our burdens and our burns, our wounds and our suffering in silence. I'm going to ask all of you a question right now and hope that you will be honest and answer with a show of hands. How many of you have ever withheld your hurts or your suffering? How many of you have kept silent about those, even from people that you love? Anyone? Amen. I know I have. But I know what Paul writes today is that is not how God calls us to live, because God has intentionally ordered this body to be one. It is how God is going to show us a more excellent way to live, Paul writes. In just a moment, we are going to sing a great hymn, the Servant Song. Pay attention to those words. Won't you let me be your servant? Let me be as Christ to you. And then keep paying attention when you sing, pray that I may have the grace to let you be my servant too. In between each of the verses that we sing, you are going to hear a testimony read by a member of our care and support team. These are testimonies written by members and friends of this congregation who have either given or received care here. Testimonies that witness to how both giving and receiving are acts of love and grace. Testimonies that honor the truth that we are already one body, not just here and now, but everywhere and every time we draw breath. Listen to those testimonies, and then use your breath to sing so that our hearts might beat as one, so that we can honor the simple and bold truth of who God has already created us to be. One body. Brothers and sisters, today I pray that we will always have the will to step forward and serve. And I also pray that we will always have the courage to allow ourselves to be served too. Amen.
Firsthand in times of challenge, sorrow, and joy. I remember adding my covered dish to a counter already full of bowls, pots, and pans, all labeled with their content and the names of church members who had also cooked. I knew that amidst this funeral, our dishes would give comfort to the grieving and in a small way lighten the load of worrying about how to feed guests. We are servants, and we are served. Perhaps the happiest experiences of cooking on the food crew come when there is a new birth in our church. Within the first week of coming home, we try to take a hot meal with dessert to the family. Probably my favorite time was when Holly and Donnie came home with Elliot, their first child. I wanted this to be a joyous meal. I cooked pork chops with sage and rosemary, winter squash with a little nutmeg and maple syrup, a salad, and a dessert of baked apples. I wrapped a bottle of red wine in the front page of the New York Times for Elliot's first day in the world. I jumped on my bike and met Holly at the JP Knit and Stitch, where she was taking a class. She introduced me to tiny Elliot, still only a few days old. My ride home was great. I felt the connection of our church and discovered that in serving, we are served. Take the women's lunch place in. Not only did they embrace our guests, they treated them with a whole lot of dignity, a lot of honor, and a lot of respect, even in their most insane moments. This is one church that did not judge our guests. Homeless women are judged. We came in here and we were embraced with open arms from all the volunteers and all the staff members. And I want to thank Old South Church for giving our guests a home and the staff that gave us a chance to continue striving to make a change in the lives of struggling women.
Matthew chapter 25, verse 36. I was sick and you took care of me. Back in May of 2012, I was admitted into the hospital to have surgery. As most of you know, anytime you have an invasive surgical procedure, you run the risk of losing your life, especially when you have multiple diseases like myself. This makes for a nerve-wracking experience, but you have faith in God and faith in your doctors that everything will be all right. But there's one key factor that you know about, but sometimes doesn't come to mind. The Care and Support Ministries of Old South Church. There are people at our church that God sends messages through us to them, so that we know everything will be all right. The outpouring of cards that I received was overwhelming. And you know, every one of those cards told me that I was in that person's thoughts and prayers. How powerful a message that was, and how it helped in my healing. I believe these things were given to me freely for God's purpose to help me get well. Again, I say to you, thank you. You are truly family to me. First child, the Care and Support Committee was among the first to reach out with congratulations and offers to help. I can still recall Anna Yoder showing up at our apartment with a warm hug and a delicious meal to help us through those first few weeks with a newborn. What new parent doesn't love to have dinner taken care of? What a treat. When the notes started to flood our mailbox, welcoming our baby into the church family, the messages warmed our hearts and made us feel even more a part of Old South. The congratulatory notes continued after the birth of our other children. How generous people in Old South are with their time and loving words. The notes helped us as new parents to remember that we were part of a community that was both celebrating these new births and ready to help bring new little ones into the world at Old South. The outreach was so important that I was moved to join the care and support team as a member of the card crew. Reaching out to others in our congregation during times of joy, sorrow, and reflection. What a powerful ministry in the life of Old South.
The universal language of humankind is food. It is the great equalizer. We all need it to live, but it is also marvelously tied into our cultural roots, our experience of pleasure, and our sense of community. When you cook for others, you share of yourself in nonverbal yet very telling ways. You tell the story of your life, your upbringing and influences, all in the way you blend flavors, in the way you present a dish, in the way you serve your guests. I have found the Old South Regional Potluck Suppers to be a special time of informal, joyous communication with church family. They illuminate who we pewmates are in our homes and demonstrate how the church lives in us when we leave the traditional venue. I love the prayer, the singing, the conversation, and yes, the eating. Your moussaka sits comfortably on the plate next to my lasagna. His lemon mousse is enhanced by her blueberry crumble. We bring different flavors to the table, and they mingle as we do, and there is joy.